Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Tat te artha tama stuti karma puja karma smriti sharanayo shravanam katayam samsevaya twai vina iti shat angaya kim bhaktim jana paramahansagatao labeta kater hatama namastu ti karma puja karma smritis charnayo shravanam katayam samsevaya twai vineti sad angaya kim bhaktim janak paramahansa gatau labeta tater hatama namak suti stuti karma puja karma smritis charnayo shravanam katayam samsevaya twai vineti shad angaya kim bhaktim janak paramahansa katao labeta yeah, you can, sure. Sevaya tvai veneti sarangaya kim. Bhaktim janak paramahansa gato leveta. Ladies. Teryatam namakshuti karmapura. him. Sagata Namasutikama Puja Smiti Sharanayo Shavanam Kataya Sam Sevaya Twayi Vineta Sarangaya Kim Bhaktim Jana Paramahamsa Gato Laveda. Tat, therefore, te, unto you, arhatama, O supreme of all worshipable persons, namaha, respectful obeisances, stuti karma puja, worshipping your lordship by offering prayers and other devotional activities. Karma, activities being dedicated to you. Smriti, constant remembrance. Charanayo, of your lotus feet. Shravanam, always hearing. Katayam, in topics about you. Sangsevaya, such devotional service. Twayi, unto you. Vena, without. Iti, thus, shat angaya, having six different parts. Kim, how? Bhaktim, devotional service. Jana, a person. Paramahamsa gatao, obtainable by the Paramahamsa. Laveta, may obtain. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons, to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshiping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet, and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahamsas? Please repeat. Therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshiping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet, and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahamsas? Prabhupada's purport. The Vedas enjoin, Nayam Atma Pravachenena Labdo Na Medaya Na Bahuna Shutena. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by studying the Vedas and offering prayers. Only by the grace of the Supreme Lord can one understand Him. The process of understanding the Lord, therefore, is bhakti. Without bhakti, simply following the Vedic injunctions to understand the Absolute Truth will not be helpful at all. The process of bhakti is understood by the Paramahansa, one who has accepted the essence of everything. The results of bhakti are reserved for such a Paramahansa, and this stage cannot be obtained by any Vedic process other than devotional service. Other processes such as jnana and yoga can be successful only when mixed with bhakti. When we speak of jnana yoga, karma yoga, and dhyana yoga, the word yoga indicates bhakti. Bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, executed with intelligence and full knowledge, is the only successful method for going back home, back to Godhead. If one wants to be liberated from the pangs of material existence, should take to devotional service for quick attainment of this goal.
Tate-nirhatatma namakshuti karma puja karma smritis charnayo shavanam katayam samsevaya tvai vineti sarangaya kim bhaktim janak paramahamsa gato laveta.
Therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons of whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshiping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet, and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahansas?
Mam Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasvatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivade Paskadhyade Siddharane.
As we can expect, bhakti is glorified, and karma and jnana are not given as much credit as most people would like them to be given. Indeed, throughout the Bhagavatam, it is said that it is meant to kick out dharmak prayojita kaitavotatra paramo nimatsaranam sitam. It's meant to kick out karma and gyan, etc. Of course, it is meant to kick them out from devotional service, not just kick them out. It is not that we're against karma yoga or jnana yoga. We're against them interfering with pure devotional service, because that's the definition of pure devotional service. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karma diravritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. That devotional service is meant for Krishna. And indeed, Krishna, he simply wants bhakti. He simply wants love, because he doesn't need anything else. He doesn't have a material body. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, when we offer him halava with raisins in it, it's not that he has to accept it, because he's standing there all day, playing on his flute, getting a little tired, needs a break. We offer him some halava with some raisins in it, and he has to take it, because he's just hungry. No, Krishna is standing there because he doesn't have a material body. It's a completely transcendental body. And therefore, what he actually accepts in the offering is the love, the desire, the anxiety of the devotee to please him. This whole process of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, as Krishna says, Atachitam samadhatu nisakshnosi maistiram abhyasena yogena tutam mamichchantundananjaya. If you cannot fix your mind upon me without any deviation, if you can't use all your intelligence in me, then engage yourself in sarana bhakti, and in this way, try to develop the desire to obtain me. In other words, sarana bhakti shouldn't be just mechanical. It should be with a desire to obtain Krishna. Shushusha shadadhanasya. So the first thing is su. Nicely here with the idea of trying to do something for Krishna with care and attention. That every moment we have an opportunity to do something with care and attention for Krishna. Care and attention means that we love the person and therefore we wanted to do it very carefully and attentively in order to please them. But it must be for them what they want. Unfortunately, because of our misidentification with this gross and subtle material body, therefore we don't always do things for Krishna, nor do we always do things with care and attention for Krishna. Therefore, one has to seek out those different ideas that one has, those conceptions, those material desires, try to understand them properly, and therefore understand their undesirability and usually their lack of any value in our process of devotional service. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prasada lesha nugrihita evahi janati tadvam bhagavan mahim no nachanyam ekopi churan vichinvan. That atapi, certainly, ata therefore certainly, ata api, atapi te, your deva, the Supreme Lord, oh my Lord. Padambuja dvaya, pada ambuja. So Krishna's feet are just like ambuja. Ambu means water and ja means born in. So what's born in the water? The lotus flower is born in the water. Therefore it's called ambuja. Dvaya. And Krishna has two lotus feet. Janati tadvam. Atapi te deva pujambudo dvaya prasada, your mercy. That's what we really want, is Krishna's mercy. Of course, he's giving us his mercy in the form, many different forms. It is simply a question of understanding what Krishna's mercy is and then accepting it. Prasada lesha, even a trace, anugrihita of your mercy. Prasada lesha nugrihita evahi. Certainly, if one simply gets a little trace of the mercy coming from the lotus feet of Krishna from his devotional service. Service with devotion. Why are we not doing with service with devotion? Because we're in anxiety. And what is our anxiety? Because we're in anxiety about this material world. We have so many problems going on, and we're in anxiety to solve them. Of course, anxiety to get living entities out of the material world, that's spiritual anxiety. Anxiety about our situation in the material world, whether or not we're enjoying or suffering, that's called material anxiety. So devotional service has to be free from our anxieties, our concerns about the material world, and it can be full of the anxiety that Krishna has. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is full of anxiety, worrying about all the living entities trapped in essence and material world. And Haridasa Thakur wanted to relieve that anxiety. As followers of Haridasa Thakur, we're supposed to try to help Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relieve his anxiety by helping the conditioned souls become conscious of Krishna. Of course, if we ourselves are anxiety, if we ourselves are bound up by the misconception of identifying ourselves with this gross and subtle body, if we can't be free from anxiety and chant Hare Krishna, then it's very difficult to get anyone else to do it also. Nor, if we're full of anxiety, are we following Krishna's instructions. Ma suchaha, don't worry, that Krishna will take care of the material world. Whatever is going to happen here is fully under his control. Rather than being a backseat driver in this material body and telling Krishna how to drive our car, go here and go there, let Krishna do the driving. Get free from anxieties. He's a good driver. He knows where to go. And he doesn't, like ourselves, crash into material existence. Therefore, Masuchaha, be free from anxiety, chant Hare Krishna, perform our devotional service with care and attention. Then this is the prasad, even a little trace of that. Prasad, atapite deva pajambudau dvaya prasad lesha grinihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno. And then one can actually understand a little bit about the glories of Krishna. That chanyam e kopi charan vichinva. One may go on speculating about whether or not Krishna is God, whether he's going to protect me, whether I'm going to get what I need, whether that package is in the mail for me, whatever we may think about, whether I turned off the stove. Of course, we should think about whether we turned off the stove or not, because it happens to be Krishna's house, and therefore we don't want it to get burned down. But we should choose our anxieties properly. Otherwise, we just an anxiety, whatever comes to our mind, we accept as a problem for ourselves and for others. That may take away from our pure devotional service. In the beginning, when one is an artha, arti, when one is coming to the devotional service, one is just full of anxieties. And then one discovers that the reason why our anxiety is because we're desiring illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, gambling. We're told to give them up. And then we'll get free from a little bit of our anxiety if we give them up externally, and then hopefully we're working on giving them up internally. Not that separation makes our heart grow even fonder. That only time separates me from sinful activity. No, one has to give up even the desire for these things, but that can only be obtained if one actually practically understands that these things are not valuable. Visha vinivartante nirharasi dehinam rasa varjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. If we can put up our hands and chant and just try to come under Krishna's influence without thinking I'm missing something, then one can become an artha. One can understand the value of the coming, being purified, giving up sinful life, acting piously, performing devotional service, even expecting some reciprocation from Krishna, but not just to give up our anxiety, but actually to perform something pious, do something positive. Then one can actually come to the platform realizing actually the most important thing is to gain consciousness, to not simply to act externally, doing nice things, but we should do them with care and attention. We should learn how to do the right thing in the right way. Therefore, one becomes jignasu, how to improve one's consciousness, how to improve one's activities, so that one's consciousness becomes purified, and when one becomes purified, one realizes that there's nothing to worry about. One becomes liberated. One can see that all living entities are actually eternally liberated also. Only due to their attachment to the material conceptions of life are they suffering in the material world. Anarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga rahokshaje Lokasya janato vidvam chakre satvita samhita. And that our learned Srila Vyasadeva, he's already figured out the remedy for everyone's suffering. We don't have to come up with a better remedy than to give people the knowledge from the Bhagavatam, especially in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books and the holy name, There's no better remedy. We don't have to think about some better way of saving people, including ourselves. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhavavarjitam nishobhyate gyanam alam nishobhyate gyanam alam niranjitam kutakpunas shasvat abhadram ishvare nacharpitam karma yadapyakaranam. Naishkarmyam, that is doing activities without any fruit of desire, simply for self-realization, to get out of the bodily concept of life. Even that doesn't look very well if it's devoid of the conception of this infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what to speak of fruitive activities, which from the very beginning are not offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and which are from the very beginning are transcendent and full of misery. So Krishna is asking us, Sarva Dharma Prachaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Raja. He's asking us to give up all our other activities and just surrender to him. It's not that he's an envious, jealous God, and he's watching us do other things, and he's envious of us. He wish he could do the same thing, but being God, what can he do? He got to set a good example. No, he wants us to give up our misery. He wants us to give up things which are actually not going to make us happy. He simply wants us to be happy, but we can only be happy when we're in the bliss of his association. The bliss of his devotees' association, because in the spiritual world, the endless pleasure comes from loving exchanges with Krishna. No one else is doing anything else there in the spiritual world. There's nothing else to do but to love Krishna. It may sound rather boring for ourselves here, you know, no investments are being made there, no book scores, nothing like, you know, no Sunday feast to look forward to, just to love Krishna all the time. But loving Krishna produces endless varieties of transcendental pleasure beyond our wildest imaginations. And they're always growing, and they not only satisfy the living entity, but they make them, the living entity, more and more, the devotee of Krishna, more and more anxious to do something to please Krishna. One becomes more and more desirous. So we also are trying to develop our desire to please Krishna. Simultaneously, we're trying to understand why our desires for fruitive activities, without relying upon Krishna, without putting Krishna in the center, without understanding that Krishna will help us, Krishna will protect us, etc., how these things are just wasting our time. And to give up the speculation that there's something better to do than simply to love Krishna. Jnane priyasam udapastanamanta eva. At least to set aside for some time. That's why we have our sadhana. During the whole day we can, you know, we generally are worrying about this. We're caught up in our material existence, our conceptions. We have our own space, generally speaking. Of course, if one is engaged in intense service to please Krishna, then generally there's no time even to think of our own selfish conceptions of life. Certain services force us to absorb ourselves in trying to please Krishna, such as book distribution. You can't stand on the street or wherever we're trying to distribute books and at the same time be in Maya without expecting some very unpleasant circumstances to arise. While at the temple, we can do so many foolish things or think so many foolish things and no one seems to notice except for Krishna, but we don't notice him anyhow. Therefore, at least during our sadhana, we have to become a little conscious whether our anxieties floating through our mind actually have any value or not. Whether our mental speculations, she loves me not, which is the ultimate mental speculation. Or, you know, what's her prasadam? Or why don't they give me the praise and the adoration, the distinction I deserve, because why is not no one looking at me during japa, chanting to me? So to give these things up and just to concentrate, chanting happily Hare Krishna, trying to feel Krishna's presence, and hopefully in the future, gradually as we accept Krishna's reality, actually understand how nice it is just to think about Krishna. Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, or Krishna in the Sankirtan movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu running towards Govardhan Hill, trying to go back to the spiritual world, or sitting there on the beach of Jagannath Puri, and Chota Haridas in his form as a Gandharva, chanting to him, singing to him very sweetly, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu absorbed in separation from Radha and Krishna. So why not think about those things? Why do we have to think of so many other things? What is the value of thinking of so many things? What will we accomplish by trying to solve thinking about the economic problems of the current society? What is the price of gold and whether the dollar is worth any less than a piece of paper? So what is the value of all this anxiety? What is the value of being anxiety that we're going to die? It doesn't preserve our life for one moment more. I'm going to die. You are going to die. It's true. That's the one thing you got right today. And as I said the other day, practically all our anxiety is all concerned the fact that we're going to die. We're always in anxiety. And we're making so many arrangements. Taking our vitamins, doing our exercise, checking our diet, relationships with other people, not going up to them and saying, I hate your guts. I hate your guts. Let's take it outside. No, we're usually polite with each other because we don't want to take it outside. We want to protect our near and dear body. And therefore, we're diplomatic with others. We're polite. We have so much etiquette. If it's for Krishna, it's very nice. If it's just to maintain my false ego or gross or subtle material body, it is actually not going to save us. Ultimately, we're not trying to put our body unnecessarily into material miseries or into jeopardy, but we're trying to eliminate the unnecessary anxiety, gross physically, mentally, intellectually, false egoly, and we're trying to simply be satisfied with loving Krishna. Trying to do something with this present situation to please Krishna. And when we see our mind is deviated, our desires, our motivation is deviated, then to try to remember Krishna again. That I'm doing this activity because someone from Krishna's entourage, some representative of Krishna, has asked me to do it, and now I have an opportunity to try to do it with care and attention. Even prasadam, if we want to improve our taking prasadam, then wash our hands before we take prasadam. Honor prasadam. And try to chew the prasadam, thinking about Krishna. Try to taste it. Think about how much we're supposed to eat, how much our stomach, little tummy will hold. Not that we're going to fill it up to our ears. So that throughout the 24 hours a day we'll remember, we'll have remnants of prasadam. No, we want to figure out so many ways of improving the care and attention of honoring prasadam, chanting the holy name, dealing with the devotees, dealing with the deities, reading these books, whatever service we're doing to spread the Sankirtan movement, distributing the books, printing the books, cleaning the temple, whatever we're doing to try to attract ourselves and others to Lord Krishna, if we do it with care and attention, then gradually these desires for doing something else other than doing something for Krishna will gradually diminish. We'll see every opportunity, every situation as an opportunity to do something nice for Krishna as Krishna would like us to do it, and especially in relation to others, to try to become transcendentally discriminating and expert in such a way as to encourage others to become Krishna conscious too. So that's the higher platform of devotional service. Not just to do things dutifully, which is the basic, but to do things expertly, in order to attract people to become Krishna conscious, including ourselves. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, comments?
Maharaj, you were speaking about anxiety. I just wanted to check with you. Even devotees do have anxiety in their service. Like, for example, if you're thinking about how to expand book distribution or how to try and raise Lakshmi for a project at the temple, how will you say, is that in the mode of passion, or is that anxiety good to take?
If you leave it at that, be an anxiety about those things without any anxiety of anything else, like what we're going to get from it, if we're successful, how we'll get praised, if we're unsuccessful, we'll get criticized. If we just do it in anxiety to spread Krishna consciousness for the welfare of others, that's spiritual anxiety. And if we add some other anxiety into it, my own personal prestige or profit or adoration or distinction, it's also spiritual anxiety mixed with material anxiety. So that's called karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti or different types of mishra bhakti. So we're going to be in anxiety because that's the nature of existence. Mother Jasoda is also an anxiety. That Krishna will grow up, he'll become a good devotee, he'll become healthy, he won't get harmed by the birds or the monkeys, he won't fall into... She's always in anxiety. But that's anxiety for Krishna. So that's Krishna conscious anxiety. So if Krishna is there, we can tell if the anxiety is spiritual if it's centered around pleasing Krishna. And the result of it should be eventually that it concentrates our mind more upon Krishna. Because without Krishna, everything we're doing is just a waste of time. So our anxieties, our activities, whatever our goal, our mood, whatever it is, should be ultimately to absorb our minds in Krishna consciousness. Yes. Yes. Here's a microphone.
I also have a question about anxiety. When I chant japa, sometimes I feel anxiety in a way that I desire to have pleasure from Holy Name or taste the nectar. But I feel that it's egoistic or it's not very spiritual to think like that about japa, to want to enjoy by the Holy Name. But then I see that some acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they chant and they, in those bhajans, they pray to Krishna that they want to experience nectar and they beg for the nectar. So I don't know if it's right to have this attitude.
To want to be happy?
Yes, but...
Well, if you're not going to be happy by loving Krishna, there's no other way of becoming happy. But of course, to be an anxiety about becoming happy is not the best way of becoming happy. Better to be happy and chant Hare Krishna, and then we'll get all the happiness we're looking for. Not that... There's transcendental anxiety, but we're probably not, when we're chanting, we're probably not on that level. The intense separation... Caitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling intense separation, but he was also experiencing intense pleasure. That's why he was feeling separation. Just like we may feel intense separation from something we like. Like, for instance, if there's a Sunday feast, and there's going to be something we like at the feast, like samosas or gulab jamuns, and we start feeling separation. So that's because we have a taste for those things. Not that the gulab jamun will save me or the samosa will save me, but we like it. We simply want to associate with it. Similarly, we like Krishna, and therefore we want to associate with him. Not that Krishna, you know, save me. You know, I'm an anxiety. I want to be happy. You know, you give me happiness and then go away after I'm done with you. No, we want to make Krishna happy. And we want to be happy in his presence. We want to love Krishna. So we want our love to... We want to love Krishna. So we should act as if we love Krishna. So love is not full of that material anxiety. It's love. It's very light. It's very blissful. It's love. And if we love Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate, and then we'll actually be happy. But if we just try to love Krishna, we won't need any. All our material anxiety will go away because we'll be happy just by loving Krishna. And whether Krishna reciprocates or not, we'll be happy because we'll be free from anxiety. But if we're trying to be happy and we're in anxiety, there's a contradiction there. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Krandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.